If you have your Bibles with you this evening, turn to Luke 15. This is an old familiar story, but one that we should never get tired of hearing. We're going to start reading in the 11th verse of the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. The Word of God says, "And there was a certain man that had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, and make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet.'" Now we're going to stop there with the reading. This familiar story about the prodigal son. And this young man, as our story said, went into the wild country after he got everything that his father, that he would have inherited from his father. And through riotous living, he blew it. Now, before that young guy left, there was trouble with him before. Have you ever looked in someone's eyes and knew that things weren't right, that something was wrong? I've been there. I know what that's like. They may be there physically, but mentally, they're far off. And that son was in that situation. And when the opportunity came, he took off. But he now has come to his senses, and he's come back. And the first thing he did was say, "Father, forgive me." And, you know, before his father seen him coming, when he seen him in that field, you that are parents, you know this. You may have kids, but your kids aren't kids. Ted was telling me about his son, Andrew. He's going to Afghanistan. And he's not 13, but he's still your boy. You know, no matter what your kids do, you still have love and compassion. They're still your kids. They can get their names changed, but they're still your kids. So the boy came home and he confessed to his father, "Dad, I blew it. I'm sorry, forgive me." And you know, when you confess your wrongs, that clears the air. I work with a guy, and this guy had a propensity to goof off. And the boss would call him in, and the guy says, and the foreman there in this particular time, his name was Dick, and he said, "Dick, I'm sorry, I'm just not very smart." And every time he goofed up, he'd tell this foreman, and obviously this foreman didn't know really how to react to that. But he'd say, I told you, Dick, I'm not very smart. I'm sorry. And finally, this foreman told me, he said, what am I going to do with the guy? Yeah, Nancy's dumb. Listen, that was a ploy. But you know, one of the hardest things to do is say I'm sorry. And I don't know this, but if I was to ask you, how many times have you heard someone say, I'm sorry? I don't think you're going to need 10 hands. Men don't like to confess that they're sorry. It's a pride thing, you know? And I've told you this before, but it bears repeating. When I was younger, I made a lot of mistakes. I still make a lot of mistakes. They're just not the same proportion. And my wife was the kind of lady that if I did it, she'd remember. If it was back in 06, she had it marked down somewhere. And I got tired of hearing my sins thrown in my face. So I got a knife out of the door, one of those serrated knives. And I held out my arm and I said, here, babe, cut my arm off. If that'll make you happy, cut my arm off. Because that drives you crazy, you know that? To keep someone bringing up something that you did. And this young man came to his father and he asked his father to forgive him. Now, do you think his father's going to bring that up 2 or 3 years down the line? I don't think so. I don't think he would. Just the fact that he confessed to his father kind of clears the air. Reverend Fleming used to say to his wife, I'm sorry. And she said something like, you're the sorriest person I've ever met. Jokingly. But the truth of it is, as soon as you confess a fault or admit you're sorry, the air's cleared a little bit. It's kind of hard to hold a grudge against somebody, especially if they mean that. And you know, that clearing the air is kind of an illustration of what Jesus Christ did for us. I remember when I repented of my sins and I asked him to save me. It was a new page. It still looked the same. But I just felt different inside. And to know that he would forgive me. And the Bible says in John, the 3rd chapter, that you must be born again. And I think once I committed myself to him, that new birth happened. With that new birth, the same thing almost happens is when you confess your faults one to another and you get it out in the open, you become a new creature inside. Have you ever carried a burden with you all the time? I worked with a guy and he said, I don't know what kind of mood my wife's going to be in when I get home. And he was dead serious. Boy, that's horrible. I mean, you don't know what kind of mood your wife is in. And he carried that burden with him all the time. He said, I don't know whether or not to go in singing or sneaking in or what. And, you know, when you carry that burden of unconfessed problems in your life, that's what you're doing. You're just carrying a burden that God didn't mean for you to carry. You know, to maintain a relationship, it's a job. You know, Pastor talks about his family, and I believe everything he says. But, you know, when something comes up between you and someone else, the best thing to do is to get it out in the open, right off the bat. And look, men relate to this better than women. Obviously, I lost him already. But, you know, men don't like to admit they're wrong. At least I don't. Even though I do it on a regular basis, because I goof up a whole lot on a regular basis. But man, it makes me feel good. She may think it goes over her head or something, but it sure makes me feel good. To maintain a relationship, you have to do that. Man does certain things And many times we try to hide what we do. That young man went and blew all the money. Now, he couldn't hide that. I mean, he come back, didn't have his shoes and clothes were all ragged, skinny. God knew that he had serious problems. And you know, with us, most people know it. Have you ever seen someone that has the weight of the world on their shoulders? You talk to them and it just goes right over their head. And if you want to be open with God and with your fellow man, you have to be open. This, as I said before, this man was rebellious before he left. And the only thing that stopped him from going off was two things. He didn't have the money, and he didn't have the opportunity. But a lot of people aren't gross sinners because they don't have the opportunity or maybe the money. I don't know. But the thing of it is, no matter what you have, if you don't have peace in your mind, what have you got? And that's just the truth of it. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy 6:8, having food and raiment therewith, be content. He said, they that be rich fall into diverse temptations and a snare, and that many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition and destruction. Contentment is a rare commodity. I was sharing this evening out front. The book of Proverbs says, there is that have great riches, yet have nothing. And there is that have nothing, and yet have great riches. And you know, in this country here, we're so used to comparing ourselves with others. We have so much, and somehow we think if we don't have the home that so-and-so has or the car that so-and-so has, you feel like you're less of a person. You may not think that, but many people do. And the truth of it is, all that is more headaches. If I've got a roof over my head, food on the table, someone that loves me, you've got everything that God had to offer. And this young man had that, but he didn't avail himself of it. When he confessed to his father, he said, Father, forgive me. Now, he had already confessed to God. Now, do you think God knew what he had done? I think he did. I don't think there's anything that we can do that God doesn't know. And you notice, he didn't say, if I sinned. He knew he had sinned. He knew he blew it. He didn't say, I'm sorry. I just fooling around, wanted to see what money was like. Because he knew the truth. Sorry has with it the impression that you're really in grief because of an action or something you said. And honesty is the best policy in dealing with that. In 1 John 1:10, God's word says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Sometimes we have to call sin, sin. And when we do something wrong, we have to recognize our guilt. In fact, men throughout the Bible are exhorted to confess sins. Now remember in Joshua 7, the Israelites were camping around the city of Jericho. And God told them when they camped around the last time, instead of just camping around, they were supposed to be quiet all the time. And then finally he said, blow the trumpets and holler, and the walls would come down. And with that stipulation, he said, don't take anything. Kill everything. All the good stuff belongs to God. That's a paraphrase on that. But there was a man that took some gold and some garments and a wedge of silver, and he snuck it and hid it underneath his tent, underneath the rug or the floor. And God knew about that. And God knew about that. And what happened was God had the Israelites by tribe come before Joshua. And Joshua said, did you take this thing? And to each of the tribes. And finally, they came to this guy's name was Achan. And he said, confess. And he probably had that guilt all the way back. Can you imagine what it is to be all the tribes of Israel come in, and then it came your turn? And when Joshua told him, did you do this? Confess. He said, yes, I did. And as soon as he confessed, it cost him his life and that of his family. But the guilt was gone, because sometimes it has to be a relief just to get rid of that guilt. You know, with confession, it should be accompanied with submission to punishment. Sometimes you do something that should receive recompense for what you do. Now, you know, so in our law system now, young people, and it's not just young people, do things wrong, and they say the government just slaps them on the wrist. So what does that do? That encourages people to do more harm. And truthfully, when you do something wrong, there comes a time when you make right what you did wrong. Some things you can't make right. There's some things you can do that you cannot rectify. But what you can do is take the consequences for what you did. You hear of people that commit heinous crimes, and their conscience gets the best of them. In fact, I don't know if you guys watch Forensic File. There ain't a whole lot on television I can watch, but I do watch Forensic File. The guy killed somebody and got in prison. His conscience bothered him. What'd he do? He took his own life. And that's kind of a gray situation. But the truth of it is, your conscience will literally kill you. And the best thing to do is just repeat it. You know, with confession, there should come a sorrow. And you know, when every sin we do, and I never understood this when I was young, every sin you do ultimately is against God. And I don't always think of it. When I did stupid stuff, if I could get by with it, it didn't bother me. But the truth of it is against God. And what did that young guy say? He said, I've sinned against God and against you, Father. And he has. But the good part about God is willing to forgive. And a parent will forgive too. They may not always forget, but they will forgive. And the first thing that should come with repentance or confession is forsaking what you do. There's a verse in the Bible I really don't understand. Jesus said, how many times should I forgive? And he said, 49 times seven or something.
And 70 times.
70, thank you very much. 70 times seven. And you figure, that's not, truthfully, if someone was to come to you and kept doing the same stupid thing, what would you think? You know what you'd think, unless you're a saint? You'd say, they're not serious. They're not serious. I mean, how in the world can you keep doing, say, something, 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 something? If my kids did that, after maybe the second time, they get the board treatment. You guys probably don't know what the board treatment is, but I'm a firm believer of the board system. They go in there, I'd have a word of prayer with them, bend them over the bed, and lay the board to them, you know, and then have a prayer with them. That's the way I did it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not holding myself up as an example. But that's the way it is. And you know, when you say you're sorry, your actions ought to bear what your words say.
Amen.
So quit doing that. You know, quit doing that. I'll tell my wife sometimes, she don't like me using her as an illustration, but it's true. I'll tell her something. I'll say, babe, I'm just kidding. That's not right. That's not right. But I constantly do it. I mean, I don't do it. You know, it's not like stretching an untruth. is an untruth, no matter how far you stretch it. But I'll say something to her, and I say, oh, babe, just kidding, you know, and she's supposed to understand. She don't. You know, women.
No,
that's the way it is. But you know, God does. So. There's only one entity in the world that I know of where you can do something stupid and something stupid and something stupid, and He forgives you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows my heart. We was talking earlier, I made this statement. It's so true. The older you get, you think, boy, that old guy ought to be like a saint. Listen, if you could see what's going on in this brain, it doesn't. I have to fight the same temptations that I thought was younger, and I keep saying, Lord, why? Why would you forget? In fact, it can get so bad that you even doubt, man, what am I doing wrong that I have to constantly ask God to forgive me? But, you know, I take solace in the fact that I ask Him. I think, and I'm not God, but I think what would be bad is if you didn't confess your sin. He says if we confess our sin, He's just and faithful to forgive us and remove us from all sin. And I still make dumb mistakes. I've used this illustration, but I don't know of a better way to do it. In fact, we were talking this evening. I can see how come He can save Ted and Linda. They're good. Now, this is perception. They're good people. Or anybody in here. I could pick anybody. I mean, you have a lot to offer. A lot of you's got energy, vitality. You have so much to offer. But what have I got? Someone answer. No, you may not think like that, but I do think. There was a song written by Rusty Goodman. And I that song was in my head. It's like what the pastor says about these songs that we sing. You ever wake up in the morning singing those songs? I mean, it's silly that I'm waking up singing. Now, don't take that wrong. But I do. I mean, why would that come to my mind? But it does. Every morning I go over those. I write them. We do a new one. I put it on my notes and my Kindle, and I go over them every morning. But it's weird that I can remember. But Rusty Goodman wrote a song that says, and it's really my life story. He goes something like this, and I'm not singing it because I can't carry the tune. But it says, who am I that came to live and die for? Who am I that He would say, not my will, but thine? The answer I may never know. But to an old rugged cross I'll go. For who am I? And I think that all the time. I think, man, isn't it amazing that God would save me? Because I can fool you. I can put a suit on and shape, try to look presentable. But there's no fooling God. He knows everything. It's straight up and up. He knows I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But I take solace in the fact that He would save me. And I have that confidence in Him. And part of that confidence is confession of sin. I want to keep an open channel. Am I good living? The example that I'd like to do is we talked earlier this evening. Some of us get here a little bit earlier when we were talking. I'm not what I could be. Thank God I'm not what I was.
Amen.
You know? And boy, what a comfort. What a comfort that is. So I want to leave you with this thought. And we're getting done a little bit early tonight, so you get out before the moon comes up. Well, the moon's already up. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will confess their sins, that's you and me and everybody here that's a child of God, that he'll forgive us. And he'll even go so far as to heal our land. But the solution is confession. This young man gave us a good example of someone that was willing to admit that he's wrong and confess to his Father. And what did he get out of it? Doesn't write that down, but that's a good one. What did he get out of it? The truth of it was, he got the blessing of the Father. He got peace with God. His brother probably still hated him. He'd probably be a worker all of his life instead of a joint heir with his father's property. But he's got something that money can't buy, and that's peace. Let's have a word of prayer. I appreciate you being here this evening. Father, we thank you, and we do thank you for the help that we have, for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, again, I bring our pastor before you. I thank you for him, and I just ask that you'd have your will and way in not only his life, but the life of his family. And you would use him, Lord, to make this ministry a true lighthouse for you. Lord, I'd ask that you'd go with us, watch over, protect us, and most of all, use us when we're together again. For everything you do for me, I thank you. In Christ's name, amen. You are officially dismissed.